Who moves out in the middle of the night?
Nothing strange about it. She wanted to leave. How does that not make sense?
I don't understand why she didn't tell me.
Maybe she didn't like you. Maybe she knows you're poor and haven't paid your rent.
I found some kind of code or like secret message in her apartment.
It means stay quiet.
Our world is filled with codes, subliminal messages. From Silver Lake to the Hollywood Hills.
Could any of this be connected to Sarah?
I know this girl.
There's a message in the music.
Really think you're gonna find a hidden message in a pop song?
1, 2, 3.
Can't quite see it, but I'm close.
Honey, how are you?
Mom, I'm fine. Mostly fine.
Why do we assume that all of this information is what we're told it is? Maybe there are people out there who are more important than us, more powerful, communicating things in the world that are meant for only them and not for us.
Yeah.
Oh, you think that's weird?
A little.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Look under Podcasts and search for Subbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Gentlemen, how are we? What is going on? JVL, you are back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm back.
How was it?
It was great. It was great. Everything's always great at the beach.
And you have people there. Assuming you're back, that means there are people there.
There are filthy, filthy people in.
I mean, living in your
little beach house. Oh, okay. Yes, it fills me with joy to be able to share it with others.
Can you screen where they're from? Are you even allowed to answer that? Probably not.
The answer is I don't have any idea. I mean, we always read the notes in our guest book because, you know, we leave a little guest book out.
Oh, right.
Oh, thank you so much. We loved your Roku player and stuff like that. Yeah. But we don't. No.
Okay. Like people whose last names end in vowels from New Jersey.
From the shore.
Okay, I don't get that.
Sonny. Question. Are you going to have a professional fumigation done in your home before you come back to it?
100%.
I mean, I don't mean like you hire a maid service or whatever to come. I mean no. E.T. suited.
The term of art is deep clean.
Deep clean.
Oh, yes.
There is a deep clean. You know, since we used to have carpet throughout and then we replaced it with a manufactured hardwood, because you don't want real hardwood at the beach because the humidity changes, messes it up. And so that, I feel, right off the bat, makes it like 1,000 times cleaner.
Yeah.
Because carpets are... Ugh.
Yeah. Also, carpet in the humidity, and humidity, too. That is also
and
a weird
And you get sand
mix.
In it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. People
we
that.
Had to wait, funnily enough. Is it like the things you think about? We waited to do carpet until G Money was old enough that we could trust that he wouldn't just wipe out every time on the hardwood. Because, you know, when at the beach, everybody's feet are always wet. And so, you know, when we first...
That's right.
When we first bought the place, we thought about immediately converting to hardwood. And we didn't because... You guys remember this, right? When you're like 2 or 3 years old and your feet are wet running through a house,
that's it.
Right? Yeah. You might as well have a floor covered in banana peels.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Can I ask you guys a couple? I tweeted you.
Yeah, the pizza box.
The pizza box. Can we talk about the pizza box for a minute?
Sure. Yes.
What did you think?
I personally was not offended. I'm like, oh, that's where I want to get my pizza made by a guy who looks like Saddam Hussein. that's what I thought. The big bushy
Hot
mustache.
And delicious, made just for you.
Oh wait, it didn't say. It's not like the it's not like the what is it that the SNL skit? You like it the pepper? You like it the pepper? No, it's not like. I think it was what does it say? What does the guy say on the pizza box?
Made just for you.
Okay, there's no there's no. You're putting the there. It just says made just for you. It doesn't say made a just for you. No, it doesn't.
You see the mustaches that all the gentlemen make.
Of course, the mustache Pete's.
Hey, do you know what was made just for Sonny?
What?
Christopher Nolan's new trailer for Tenet.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that transition?
Excited. pretty excited.
You like that? I like that.
So, Sonny, how long did you black out for at the end when he just held "Coming to Theaters" on the screen?
Yeah, but you know what it didn't have was a date.
You know what? It doesn't need a date. It's just coming to theaters.
It's coming. Yeah. It's coming
Christopher
to theaters
Nolan is
at
saying
some point.
That, by God, this movie is coming to theaters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not coming to your Roku player, not coming to VOD,
not
stream
your
it
Roku
at home.
Player.
This is coming to theaters because I'm Christopher effing Nolan.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. I have to say, I'm like in a very weird mood about all of this because there was I tweeted something to the effect from the Rebeller account that rebellermedia.com runs that. Just quoting a story from Deadline that said, like, if New York and L.A. aren't open, WB might delay the whole worldwide release of Tenet. That if the New York City and L.A. theaters aren't open, no Tenet. So I tweeted that and, like, highlighted that portion of the story. And then I followed it up with a reply that said, look, what we might want to consider doing if we are WB is releasing like kind of a reverse platform strategy, release in other parts of the country and then come to the big cities if the big cities aren't ready yet. Because in theory, the rest of the world will be ready. And if you're just losing out on a portion of the US market, whatever. And people on Twitter lost their shit at Rebeller. They were
like, they angry?
This is, oh yeah, they were like, this is, what are you doing with this heartland versus the coasts? Snobbery, you know, like, what are you, culture war? This is culture war. Why are you waging culture war on this website?
And what I was you're saying, like, is the people in the city were upset.
Oh, the New York critics were all furious. They were not happy with Rebeller. And I was actually like, it's funny. There are things I tweet, that I expect to get like a reaction to, right? And there are things I tweet that are completely innocuous. But the things that always get you in the most trouble are the things that you tweet that you think are going to be innocuous and turn out to get a reaction. Because I was tweeting out a Business of Hollywood story.
That's
solely like trying to speculate, like, well, what if they tried this different business model instead? What if in an age of pandemic when different parts of the country are opening at different paces, you open things in a staggered order? And people just lost they completely lost it. And I realized what had happened was I thought I was tweeting about a Business of Hollywood story. And what I was actually tweeting was a culture war story. Because that's all that exists anymore in relation to the coronavirus. It's either I'm not wearing any dang mask because my freedoms. That's the Vic Mattis point of view.
That didn't sound anything like me.
I'm not wearing any dang mask. Because of my freedoms. And then there's the JVL point of view. The JVL point of view, which is nobody leave anywhere until the vaccine is here. And obviously I'm joking and stereotyping both of you to make the broader point.
Well, Vic's like, my freedoms thing is only to cover the fact that he can't fit a mask around his head.
I mean, really. It's really
so sensitive about that.
It's mostly about envy and resentment.
Yeah, that's his cover story.
And the mask I wear now, it's too loose. So now it just dangles.
So funny, why didn't you just say what you really mean, which is that so long as it comes to Dallas, you're cool?
As long as it premieres in Dallas on July
17th,
that's all you care about.
Nowhere else. I don't get. No, I mean, I'm like, I was like actually kind of bummed out about how that all played out. And it has, I wouldn't say it has dampened my enthusiasm for the movies, but it has dampened my belief that movies can be a unifying thing to help us get out of this, because there is no unifying thing anymore. It's all petty bullshit all the way down.
So you were not bothered by how much of the plot was given away? Because I have to say, I feel as though I got more of an understanding of what this movie was about than I've ever gotten from any Christopher Nolan trailer.
You want me to answer that?
Vic, I have a question. How much of that trailer did you understand?
That's good. That's a problem, Sonny, because I actually kind of think I understood what was happening,
what?
Which is that people are moving forward, but he's moving backward in time. And so it's like I saw the bullet marks on the window going zip, zip, zip. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's turning it back, manipulating time while moving forward. If I got it, they're in trouble. That's all I have to say. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well,
Was I right? Is that basically it? Who knows?
Who knows what it's? I watch that and I like.
It looks
just,
great.
I was just looking at the pretty pictures moving on the screen. I was like, oh, this is nice.
That's how
you guys have
about
a freaky Friday while I was at the beach.
Yeah, no,
it feels that way.
That's how I felt when I watched Inception the first 10 times. Oh, this is nice. What's happening here? Is this real? Is this real? No. But there is a great payoff in Inception when you do figure out what's going on, because it's a great
during the end credits when you talk to your wife.
It's really, she has to explain most things to me. That is still true, by the way, to this day. Anyway, okay.
Like, so Torino, how are you?
I'm doing fine. When you were talking about the pizza boxes, it reminded me of a story that I told a long time ago, I think, in the Substandard. It was about when I lived in Vienna, Austria, and McDonald's in Austria did a special, a China Week, China Woche special.
Oh boy.
And they gave out, tempura chicken. Chicken tempura, rather, and they came in these little red boxes. I looked, you cannot find them anywhere, and this is 1994, and on them had the caricature of a Chinese guy, yeah, just like that, with the slant eyes, Fu Manchu, and buck teeth.
At least it wasn't Ronald McDonald with slant eyes, Fu
Manchu,
and buck teeth.
No, it was a genuine Chinaman.
It was a real Chinaman.
A Chinaman, as they would say in Austria.
Gotta get canceled for like the fourth time this week after people listen to this.
I know.
That was Vic Mattis.
That was me. I'm allowed to say that. And
Vic Mattis is allowed.
And I just remember thinking, like, even then in 95, I'm like, I don't know. This doesn't seem right, you know? And so I should have just saved the box, because I would have gotten a lot of mileage out of that. I remember in Vienna also being mistaken for a Chinese waiter. The worst part was, the guy who mistook me was a Chinese waiter.
What?
I was walking down the street and there was this guy running after me and talking in my, I said, he can't be talking to me. He cannot be talking to me in Chinese. I refuse. And so I kept on walking. And then finally I'm at the crosswalk in the Kärntner Ring, and I turn around and it was a guy in a Chinese uniform, a waiter uniform. And he looks at me and goes, oh, sorry, thought you were someone else.
He has an uncle with an enormous head.
Yeah, I guess. It must have been his uncle with an enormous head. And I thought, well, doesn't get better than that. Until the time where an Austrian guy asked me if I was Turkish, because they just don't know what to make of me sometimes. Yes. Whoa, what was that noise? Okay. You know what I watched recently? It's hard to find it's easy for me to watch movies with my son, but not with my son and daughter. So sometimes Kate is busy doing work stuff. They do these night seminars and stuff, and so she's got a Zoom. And so I'm like, I don't want to leave just like one of the kids and just watch a movie with just the other one. So I'm like,
sure,
what
you just watch
find?
It with the favorite. You tell the other one to go read a book.
No. So that goes back and forth. And so we ended up watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids from 1989. And let me tell you something. That movie does not hold up.
Wasn't any good the first time. The Rick Moranis, who's
yes,
the wife?
And it was also, that was the thing. It was a Rick Moranis vehicle with no other stars but Rick Moranis.
He was a big enough star on
the
heels
weird.
Of Ghostbusters.
Well,
that's how big
Ghostbusters
was. It turned Rick Moranis into a star.
That's right. I mean, it was his own, it was a Disney, it was a Goofy, and it was like a Disney movie, like blubber Disney style movie. You know what I mean? When Disney used to make silly movies like that.
That movie was so big that it got turned into a theme park ride.
I thought so. I was telling the kids, I thought, I could have sworn they did a whole thing where basically enormous props, right? You're riding through props.
They made like three sequels to that movie.
Yeah, it was like
Honey,
Home
I
Alone
blew up the kids,
business.
And then I don't know what the third was. Yeah. It was insane. The only thing was the girl. She was really great in that movie. So that was
wow.
It. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Really, but I looked her up now. I looked her up now. And
she's like, 25 now?
No. No, it was really disturbing. She was like, I wish I never did this. I wish I never did the Google image of the actress. She's 49. That's gross.
We watched something. Sonny, I think this might even warm your cold black heart. Disney Plus did
unlikely.
A couple of Disney sing-alongs.
Ugh.
They were quarantine shot. And it's just a bunch of people in the Disney mafia. And you realize what, like, getting...
Like the Descendants?
Any of them. So, yeah, and like, Don Cheadle is in there. Why? Because he's in the Marvel movies. I mean, the extent to which joining joining any Disney production is like joining one of the five families is amazing.
Right. No, they'll call in anybody and you'll be like, what? What? Do I have to do this? And they're like, oh, yeah, you didn't read that fine print?
Yeah, page, it's all there.
Page 700.
Yeah. But it was incredibly charming because they just had various people who were connected to Disney in some way singing like 3-minute versions of Disney songs on their computers. You know, and everybody is like in their kitchen or in their family room, and you could tell exactly who is in New York and who is in LA, because everybody in LA has tons of space, and everybody in New York, even the big stars, is essentially in a closet.
Yeah, an ornate closet, but
yeah,
a closet,
not even. I mean, you know, like if you're on Broadway, you're not, you know, oh, sure. You're not that rich. Yeah. And it's incredibly charming, and I highly recommend it. I bet your daughter would love it, and I bet your daughter would love it as well, Sonny.
Hard pass.
What?
I'll look into it.
This is like the shared feeling of pandemic times, and it's awesome.
The only shared feeling in pandemic times is anger and hatred. It's what flows through us all.
Are you in better spirits, Sonny? And how what's the drinking level going on over there?
Ooh, hi. I wasn't sure what bottle to bring over today, so I just grabbed like the first top that I saw, and it turned out to be the Woodford Reserve Distillers Select.
Oh, that's a
rye.
Good one. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
No, that's so excellent. That's excellent. Okay.
We let him pick the movie and everything this week, Vic.
Oh, yes, we sure did. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get to that?
Not for me. I want to spend 50 minutes on this movie.
Okay, great. So people were wondering, and there were some guessing games going on Twitter about it, because I said, oh, you recommended a movie that only scored on one of the quadrants. One listener actually got it right. I'm sorry, I don't have my phone with me, so I forget who of our friends said it. But he said, you must have seen Under the Silver Lake, because I said, this movie makes no sense. Sonny, when did this movie come out?
Last year, Vic.
It came out in 2000. Yeah, it came out in 2019. It was mm-hmm. supposed to come out in 2018. Actually, it has like kind of an interestingly convoluted history to it. This is the follow up film from the director of It Follows, which was a clever horror thriller type movie uh-huh. about the premise of which was basically if you have sex with somebody who is being haunted by this poltergeist type spirit, mm-hmm. the poltergeist will then haunt you, and until you have sex with someone and then you pass it on.
In other words, no one would ever haunt me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's the sort of movie that appeals to us because we'll be safe forever. David Robert Mitchell is this guy's name. His much ballyhooed follow-up was Under the Silver Lake, and it was produced by A24, which is the, you know, hip boutique indie label. It debuted at Cannes in 2018 and got very mixed responses. And A24 was like, okay, we're going to recut it. And my understanding is that David Robert Mitchell was like, no, we're not going to recut it. And they kind of went back and forth. And eventually A24 and Lionsgate ended up dumping it on Blu-ray and DirecTV VOD in the first half of 2019. So the backstory on this is like kind of interesting in and of itself. The movie is endlessly fascinating, and it defies easy description.
I was going to dare you to give a plot summary in under 15 minutes.
I wrote it, JV. I wrote a synopsis for our listeners.
Yo, please do.
Vic, can you give it the big boy review?
I'm so excited. Okay, here we go. Ready? Under the Silver Lake. Someone has been killing dogs in L.A. Who? These people who bark like dogs. That's who. They eat them. And it's based on a local guy's comic strip. But we never meet that guy. A rich man goes missing and is presumed dead, but he's not. He's living under the Hollywood sign with a woman Andrew Garfield has a crush on. He searches for her, but he can't find her because she's under the Hollywood sign. But he finds a guy who has written a lot of popular songs, like the Cheers theme song and Smells Like Teen Spirit. Andrew Garfield kills him. There's also a hobo in medieval garb. Don't keep dog biscuits in your pocket. Don't get into limos with pirates. The end.
Fair enough. Fair. Yeah, so the movie is about a Hollywood. Yeah, it's not bad. It's about a Hollywood slacker who, instead of trying to figure out how to pay his rent in 5 days, gets lost in a mystery that he solves, that proves his theories on the ways of the world, and he realizes that learning the truth does not actually make him happier. That he was not doing the hard work of improving himself, and that is why he is unhappy. That's what's really happening in this movie. And there's all sorts of little plot.
It's a very capitalist reading.
Yeah, well, it's what it is. It's what it is. Look, there are all sorts of twists and turns and what have you. As Vic said, this young man is infatuated with a woman played by Riley Keough, who goes missing in the first 30 minutes or so of the film. And the rest of the movie is nominally about his attempt to find her. But what it is really about is the Hollywood entertainment industrial complex and why obsessing over it and letting it drive your spirit and your will and your being it will not make you happy. It will only make you sad. That is like my honest, that is like, as after four viewings, this is what my big takeaway from the film is. It's a deeply fascinating movie on just a structural level. It is, you know, as JVL put it, it's half the Big Lebowski, by way of David Lynch, more or less, right? Like it is noirish and twisty and turny, but also extremely surreal, but not so surreal in the Lynchian way that it's like, you know, what is happening, what isn't happening. It's kind of clear and obvious what isn't happening, what is happening throughout, I think. It just they mix the dreams and the reality so thoroughly that it is hard. It can be a little bit tricky the first time around. This is why I strongly recommend a second viewing for Vic.
Let me tell you something. If I wanted to watch a movie about secret codes, I'd watch National Treasure.
Yeah.
JVL.
So, wait. Before we get to JVL, I want to postulate what I think some of the Vic questions for this movie are.
Can you do a VQ? What are the Victually asked questions, like VAQ?
I don't think instead I can do. I don't want to try to mock Vic and do his voice. But I will say here's what I assume the big question is.
All right, let me see.
What's with that owl lady?
Is Andrew Garfield the dog killer?
Oh no, it didn't even get that far.
Oh, you didn't even get that.
That's way too complex for me.
Okay. Okay.
Whoa!
Yeah. How did that?
Mind blown.
How did that owl lady get into the house?
Okay. Well, yes, I forgot about that one. Yeah,
will
go
she
ahead.
Come to my house?
How do I get a tomb under the Hollywood sign filled with attractive ladies?
And can we have more than food for 6 months?
Okay, do you have more questions? Because I have that's pretty good.
Let me see. I had another one. And I forget what it is.
How did he write both the theme to Cheers?
Yeah,
and
how many
Billy Joel?
And team,
how did one man write songs for hundreds of years?
Why is it a problem that he wrote the songs? Why is he so upset about it? Okay, we never find out who kills the dogs. That's kind of a throwaway, isn't it? It's just like,
it's definitely Andrew Garfield.
Oh,
Andrew Garfield's definitely the dog killer. It's not. It's not explicitly stated at any point, but it is. That's my.
It's like theory. I heard for okay. All right. What about the guy who writes the comic book? What's that all about?
What do you mean?
He's talking to a guy who writes the comic book, and then it's about this thing that's happening under the Silver Lake. It's based on his comic book. What's happening there? What's the point of that?
Well,
the whole point of this movie is that this character, he believes in conspiracy theories. He thinks that people are trying to send messages through Vanna White's like head turns and blinks and nods and lyrics and songs and whatever. And he finds out that he's totally right, that all of these things are real. He learns that the secrets that he has chased after this entire time, they're real. And then he gets on the phone with Riley Keough at the end, and she asks him a very simple question. She says, how are you doing? And he just breaks. He's like, not great, because he's not doing great, because his life is trash, and learning the truth of all this stuff doesn't make his life any better.
If only he would get a job and buy things.
If he would get a job and pay his rent, he'd be so much happier.
If he could just go on to Amazon.com, Lord Bezos would give him happiness delivered to his door in 24 hours.
Sonny, I did like seeing you in the movie.
Jimmy Simpson's in it. He's great.
Who is Jimmy Simpson?
He's always good.
Andrew Garfield's friend. Yeah, like an actor like friend. Or,
sure he does.
I've never understood.
Yeah,
sure
I don't get it.
I've never understood.
He's white and he's got a goatee and mustache. Okay.
See, that's racist.
JVL. What did you think about the... Your turn. Hold your on. Turn. You. I'm
no,
done. I'm
Victorino.
Done. Oh, what?
Did you really not like it?
I thought it was terrible. I didn't
There's
get
a
it.
Lot of nudity.
Yeah, well, like, one of the quadrants. Okay, so plot.
Typically, all that's all you need is for it to kill in one quadrant.
Plot is F, all right? Duration is F.
It's only 2 hours, 10 minutes.
It felt like 5 hours. Violence was a C. He does kill the guy with the guitar.
The songwriter thing, but also where he beats up the Boy Scouts, the kids,
that's
where he
so
beats
right.
up.
That was
that's,
pretty good. Oh, okay. And sex nudity is A plus. So A+. It averaged to a D plus.
Wow.
Yeah. This movie was so boring. I thought
You're
it was directed
a tough,
by
tough grader Vic.
This movie was so boring. I thought it was directed by Terrence Malick.
Wow. Wow. Terrible. Terrible.
I just thought it was a lot of navel gazing. It's like, what's the point? Get over yourself. Okay, JVL.
I loved everything about it. And it's one of these movies that's so
There was no point to this movie. There was no point.
I've already told you what the point is.
The point was that he doesn't know what to do with his life is his point. And I have to spend 2.5 hours watching him go, what's happening with me? I don't want to pay the rent.
He's externalized his problems when they were actually inside him the whole time.
Yeah, well, just keep him inside. That's my advice.
Well, it's a bunch of different things. I mean, it's a breakup movie, right? Because this is all about him being broken up with by his model girlfriend, which is what turns him into the dog killer in the first place, right? And sends him on this pathway.
Yeah.
So it functions as a breakup movie. It functions as a puzzle box because the movie is stuffed full of codes and ciphers. And if you go onto Reddit, you will find people who have spent thousands and thousands of hours collectively trying to undo all of the different riddles. Like, for instance, the fireworks when he is standing outside with Riley Keough in the night. The fireworks are Morse code, and the Morse code spells out something like, you know, the awakening is tomorrow or the ascension is tomorrow. So it rewards people who are obsessive about it in ways that kind of like the Westing game when we were kids. Did you read that, Vic, or was that too complicated for you?
What is that a comic book?
You didn't. It's like a young adult classic.
No,
from
I never read books.
When
I didn't
we
read,
were 12.
I never read books. Go ahead.
They didn't assign that in school, the Westing game.
No. No, never.
I'm shocked your
never.
Sixth grade
never
English class didn't
it.
Have you didn't have you
no,
read that.
No, never heard of it.
And but then on top of it, it has this bizarre Lynchian originality to it. It's a love letter and a breakup letter to Hollywood at the same time, and a movie that is almost literally about Los Angeles. So they film one of the scenes on the pool deck at the Standard Hotel. I remember when the Standard Hotel opened. It opened up right when, like, 97, 98, back when I was, like, in my LA phase and going out there all the time. And I remember when I was, like, 22 going to Los Angeles, it felt like the whole city was written in code. So the hippest hotel in you know, on the strip was the Standard. It was even cooler than Chateau Marmont for a little bit. And you couldn't, like, they had no website. You couldn't, the phone number was not listed. Like, it was an adventure just trying to get a room at the Standard. And I was like, I was so over the moon when after like a month of trying, I found a way to call the Standard Hotel and get a room there. And like all of the coolest restaurants were unlisted. And with no even storefront, like, you know, the cool restaurant would be a place where you had to, like, park in an alley and you could only get there if you knew somebody. And the whole city was just full of, like, weird people. And, you know, I don't know. Like, I remember walking around Studio City with, like, Ahmet Zappa and John Badham's daughter. And, like the pirate guy is, like, a thing you would see in L.A. and it would be totally normal. Like, the guy dressed up as a pirate jumping in a limo. And it's just a weird, weird town. And it is a town that is written in a sort of hidden secret code, unlike literally any other city in America, and maybe even any other city in the world. And I just loved everything about it. Sonny, I was so happy watching this movie.
It's funny.
Listen to me. Real America, listen to me. Do not watch this movie. It is not for us.
Somebody described this movie as, like, kind of sneeringly described it as the place. It's the sort of movie where the guy who's been in L.A. for, like, 5 minutes films all of the cool places he's seen in L.A., like the Standard or the grave with the famous Hollywood grave yard, you know. And you know, it was like, oh, well, this is so kind of like nouveau riche gauche, you know, like. And I was like, well, you know, yes, but also he does it in a way that makes it the whole movie is about how Hollywood warps people and like how it kind of destroys them and like creates these unrealistic expectations and like also just leads people on. I mean, like that ridiculous and also kind of fantastic and surreal shot where Andrew Garfield sees a woman in like short shorts walking down the street, and then all of a sudden he sees like three more going all toward the same place, and they're going to an audition, which is just in some guy's garage. And it's like these, it's like 10 hot women going into a garage where
dressed up as hookers.
Essentially dressed up as hookers, like where a guy in a like wife beater and shorts is like scratching his belly and being like, yeah, come on in, come, you know, make your dreams. I find it deeply fascinating. I've watched it 4 times now, and I keep finding little and this is without doing any of the like Reddit deep dives into like what all the codes, like what all the graffiti on all the walls means, or any of that stuff. This
Vic,
is just
are you,
like,
are you taking a crap?
Yeah, I
you
am.
Look like you're struggling to push one out.
You're causing me such terrible sphincteral pain right now listening to this bullshit. I'm telling you, it's pointless. The Da Vinci Code, okay, you know, I mean, I get it. If you live Hollywood, you're in Hollywood, go enjoy it, you know, but I mean, it's not for me. I did not get this movie.
You didn't like the, I mean, because there's...
It reminded me
Big
a lot
Lebowski,
of Vertigo.
Like,
it reminded
of,
me
yeah.
of Vertigo. I didn't like Vertigo.
The score, the whole score
yeah.
is very Hitchcockian,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah. So it reminded me of that. I get that and a little bit of Rear Window, obviously, so there's a lot of Hitchcock homage to that. But
it's also
no,
sort of
Big Lebowski was funny.
Well, but
you know,
this is
nothing
funny,
funny
too.
About this movie. I just found nothing
yeah.
compelling in any way.
When he beats the piss out of the 12-year-old kids who are keying people's cars. You know, it's funny.
That scene is hilarious.
When it was hilarious, and
I did enjoy. I enjoyed their comeuppance, but I'm like.
But well, I was reading something about it afterwards. Like last night, I was fascinated by it, so I just like kept reading about Under the Silver Lake. And this seems to be like a scene that Andrew Garfield and the director apologized for, and like, well, we're not endorsing it. We're just, you know, we're just showing this part of his pathology. And I was like,
they were vandalizing cars.
Yeah, 100% endorse.
Those kids had it coming.
They
absolutely
were peeing on the cars.
Absolutely, those kids had it coming. The composer bit was amazing. Like everything, so the composer is the songwriter. So when he goes and confronts the songwriter is essentially Satan, right? It literally is like the devil went down to George. He's like, yeah, I'd put all the messages in your pop songs.
Is the actor
and then he kills him with Kurt Cobain's
makeup
guitar
to make him look old? Is he just made to look old, or is he an actually old person?
No, it's an actor made to look old, except it's not like a famous actor or anything. It's the weirdest. It's just some random guy that they put in old age.
I wondered
makeup.
If it was somebody famous.
But murdering him with Kurt Cobain's guitar didn't make you laugh out loud?
No, I was like, what is the point of this? I just didn't get it.
How about the quasi girlfriend who keeps showing up to have sex with Andrew Garfield? Dressed in
she's wearing a dirndl
hooker outfits.
Well, porn.
And he
star.
Says,
that
and he says to
dirndl.
Her, "Where are you coming from?" She's like, "Oh, from an audition."
Yeah.
And he just accepts. Oh, sure. Like that's a normal. When she's obviously a hooker.
Well, I my read on that is slightly different. I think she's a porn star. I think she's going to like porn star
shoots. Oh, you think she's going to porn shoots yeah. and not? Because when she says auditions, I thought, really? Yeah. Funny. Man, everything. The Legend of Zelda stuff, Victorino?
I'd never played Legend of Zelda.
The Nintendo stuff?
I never had
it. You were not a Super Nintendo guy?
Never owned one.
It really is a movie that is like very narrow. Another thing somebody said about this is that, you know, the director is JBL in your age, I think. He's about 10 years older than me, but they cast a guy who's essentially my age, a couple years younger. And so it doesn't actually quite, it's like this guy who's having, like, he's going through all of the Gen X nostalgia. Except it's a millennial aged guy, so it doesn't quite work.
The music was projection good.
And the band, so the Jesus and the Brides of Dracula.
Their music is great.
So that's a band called the Silver Sun Pickups, which was a big LA band in like 2007 to 2013 or so, like very, very popular. And very big in that scene. So there's just like another little connection there. I don't know. I'm not surprised Vic didn't like it. That was like the least surprising result of all this. But I'm gratified.
I appreciate
that you really
that there's
enjoyed
some
it.
Sex and nudity in movies because you don't see that anymore anyway.
I am really gratified that you were into it, JBL.
So here's the other thing that I liked about it though. I feel as though it's the type of movie that more people will hate than love, but that they'll hate it in interesting ways.
Well, I feel like it's a 0 or 5 star movie, which are the ones that are always the most interesting. Yeah. I also think that it's a movie that roughly 0 women will like, despite the fact that it is throughout an extended critique of the male gaze and the distorting effects it has on women and society in general.
You think? I was talking about asking Shannon to watch it with me. You think she would not be down for that?
I would be curious if she liked it. I watched it with Beth. She did not. Care for it. I watched
good
it with,
for so her. The good fourth time for I, Beth. The, she's the got a lot of sense, that it. Girl.
The fourth time I so watched it was her normal. First time.
Vic, did you have Kate watch it with you?
Oh.
Did you let Mike watch it?
No. It's like, I don't know. Sometimes I think, you know, you guys watch so many movies now that it takes a big movie for you guys. It has to be something weird and unusual for you to like anymore. It's like you've become porn stars. Like normal sex with one person
porn
is
addicts.
Not... It's like normal sex with one person is just not going to cut it anymore. It's got to involve animals, non-consensual, all sorts of explosions.
Leashes,
all implements, you know. Oh, that's interesting, you know. But the regular, you know, it's like this anymore. Because you see so much of it. You see so much. I mean, you know, that's, you know, you're just, it's all numb. You're all numb to it.
Yeah. I texted J-Pod this morning and I said, have you seen Under the Silver Lake? He said, no. And I said, look, I'm positive you will hate it, but I kind of want to beg you to watch it and then just listen to you talk about it for an hour.
Yes.
Because
I was thinking the exact same thing.
It's a movie that John would have an interesting negative reaction to.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
no?
Right.
I think he would. No, I think he would. I mean, look, the linchpin of the whole thing is the songwriter scene, which is like, it's the most interestingly staged and filmed and, like, I think most fully thought through in its own way scene. And it really is. I mean, I don't know if it's a damning critique exactly of the pop nostalgia industry, but it is certainly a shot across the bow, and I think JVL or JPod in particular would have a pretty interesting take on how that shakes out.
Why can't Netflix make Under the Silver Lake? This is the thing about Netflix.
Why would they want
right?
to make that movie? I mean, were you asking that movie? That's such a terrible question.
I mean,
they make bad enough stuff as it is.
The problem is, I think they've made stuff that's kind of like this, like the OA. That show was like kind of weird and spacey and dreamy, but I didn't watch it, and I barely know anyone who did. And this is the problem with Netflix, right? Is that if you have something that is weird and targeted to a niche audience, nobody will ever find it on Netflix.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Also, I was going to say, and the other thing about Netflix, sometimes, maybe there's some stuff I like, but a lot of times there are movies that are just, they can spend a gazillion dollars and it'll just be okay. You know, yeah. A mediocre movie, but they'll spend a gazillion dollars on it.
But mediocrity is, in a way, what Netflix aspires to. I mean, Netflix is the thing that you watch while you're doing something else, while you're running or
the
folding
McDonald's
clothes or whatever.
The film.
Yeah, and like, there's nothing wrong with that exactly. On one of my other podcasts, on Across the Movie Aisle, Peter Suderman suggested that one of the reasons that Michael Bay was happy to work with Netflix is because he wanted to get the user data on, like, what users, like, turn off at what times and what they stick around for to, like, kind of engineer his movie around that, which I think is an interesting, idea, but also an interesting kind of way to think about Michael Bay, the kind of most populist of filmmakers. And that is what Netflix is trying to do. Netflix doesn't have any interest in making a movie that people turn off after 20 minutes because they have no idea what's happening in it. That's not what their business model is.
Is that true? I mean, it seems like people turn off a whole lot of their movies after 20 minutes or two.
Well, nobody knows.
Right.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. Vic, who was the hottest girl in the movie?
You know,
here, let's talk about something that appeals to
you. I did like Riley Keough, and I knew she was in the movie, and yet I did not recognize her in the movie. But there she was. And obviously didn't see a lot of her. I would say definitely not the last lady in the end.
Oh, you didn't like the neighbor with the parrot?
The old lady?
Oh, I forgot. I forgot one of my Vic questions.
All right, what's with the parrot?
I forgot one of my
what's
Vic questions. I forgot one of my Vic questions was, what's the parrot saying?
At which point I was like, you know, I was just going to just blow my brains out. I was going to say, you know, weirdly enough, this is funny. We had a conversation before I watched the movie, and Kate was talking to the kids, and she was talking about hobo coats because Kate's grandmother
was a hobo.
She was a hobo. No, you would mark on your house or on a mailbox these secret codes up in, you know, upstate New York in the 1930s and 40s, and hobos would know it's a safe place to come for food. And they'd come on, you know, then they just come out and then they explain to their kids, oh, these are people who are on their, you know, they're, you know, wanderers and they do this or that. But it was a different hobo is that because I think we were trying to explain what a hobo is. And then it's different than just homeless. It was just a different thing. And it was from that time period. And like, trailers for sale or rent, that kind of a thing. But anyway, hobo codes and, you know, you mark them down. So it's funny to see in the movie that. You know, the codes.
So, Vic, what did you think about the what three words aspect to it?
What do you mean? What three words?
You didn't pick up on that?
No.
What? The what three words? No.
What is that? What are you talking about?
So one of the codes and ciphers in the movie is that there is an app, and the app is called What Three Words. Three is a number, the numeral, not spelled out. And this company has done this very interesting mapping project where they have taken the entire surface of the globe, divided into 10-foot by 10-foot squares, and made it so that you can define any 10-foot by 10-foot square on the planet by three words. And so you just navigate, you get out the app, you point it to like any little patch of 10 feet, anywhere in the world, and it gives you the three-word code for it. And that is a lot of what is going on in Under the Silver Lake. So when he is with Riley Keough in her room in the beginning, and there are the three Barbie dolls up by the TV when they're watching, they each have a name and then a word underneath. And the three words that they have, when you plug them into the What Three Words website, take you to the place where he winds up at the end with the, you know, up by the Hollywood Hills sign. And so there's like this real life intersection with the movie life of it. And no, so you didn't pick up on that. That's not.
Not at all. Not at all. I was so bored out of my mind.
Do you want me to find the What Three Words for your house?
No, it's okay. No.
No.
Later on. Anyway. Yeah. How about that?
Teen Bureau dress.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I think obviously when you're approaching it with a certain mentality or, you know, a mindset, then you expect a certain movie, I guess, and you guys were already geared into that. I was expecting a very much more normal movie.
Vic, did you like Twin Peaks?
What is happening? Never watched Twin Peaks.
We were in high
school,
so you didn't do Twin Peaks. I'm trying to think of Mulholland Drive.
No. No.
Now that scored higher on a quadrant.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean,
than this did.
I saw Mulholland Drive, I think, on Daily Motion, but, you know. When in doubt, that's a recurring punchline, by the way. Okay. Not for me, too. I'm much more conventional. As you can tell, my tastes are much more conventional. You know what had an easy plot? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Had a very easy plot. JVL, go ahead. You had, there was something, you know, I know. I mean, yeah, no. Yeah. I am easy. I know. I surprised you. I surprised you with my banality.
The Owl Lady. Did you like The Owl Lady?
I guess. I don't know what's happening there.
You know, there's one.
We all knew about The Owl on the Dollar. I mean, this is not, you know, like, what? You know, I mean,
there's one.
He didn't know. Andrew Garfield did not know about The Owl.
Please. Deep observation in it, yeah. Which is when Sam, the Andrew Garfield character, goes on a rant about why he hates the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
He says they're like poltergeists, you know, these people mm-hmm. who can't partake in the world that we live mm-hmm. in, and they just mm-hmm. sit on the outside mm-hmm. of it trying to ruin mm-hmm. our... That's a very interesting way of thinking about the homeless. Horrible, but interesting. Mm. And I thought to myself,
horrible.
As that was going on, I literally thought to myself, Sonny is all over this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
The
they're
bums
bullies.
Won.
They're bullies.
You had your moment, Mr. Lebowski.
No, this is what Andrew Garfield says, and I think it's basically right. When he's not killing the dogs, he's being bullied by homeless people. And that's why the homeless king is such a weird character for him.
Do you think he stops killing the dogs at the end? I think he does. I think by the end he's
given up
dog
killing.
Wait a minute.
Is this why he's got dog biscuits in his pocket?
Yeah. Yes, Victorino.
Yes, Vic. That's why it's not.
I saw it and I just, at that point, I just didn't give a shit. So I was just like, he's got dog biscuits in his pocket. I don't know why.
And he doesn't even know he's doing it. He's killing the dogs when he's.
Well, I think that's possible, too, that he is like.
You know what?
I feel
like the Fight Club isn't enough for me. You know, that's it. It's been there, done that.
Huh. Interesting. So you didn't like his sometimes girlfriend and the candy striper outfit and all that? That didn't do anything for you, Victorino?
What about Balloon Girl?
What about Balloon Girl, Victorino?
Yeah, which one was Balloon Girl?
The one who gets the balloons popped on her?
Oh, yeah, she was great. I thought I liked her. She was very cute.
Because in Hollywood, everyone gets a poke. that is literally what that scene is doing.
Yes.
It's like she's this ingenue who is actually a escort, and it's her like tangential relationship to the business that makes her a prized sexual commodity.
Did you not like the idea of a Catch a Rising Star escort service, Victorino? That didn't do anything for you? It's like a comedy club, Catch a Rising Star, but for hookers.
I guess. I was so sort of just, I was so bored out of my mind. I think I
really?
Was looking, yeah. I just really
that
was.
Fascinates me.
I don't remember that, Catch a Rising Star. I don't know what you're talking about. I just, this is the whole thing. It was just like, I think I just glazed over, you know, just like, when is
were
this
you drinking?
End? No, I wasn't. Oh, I did. I came back that. Oh, yeah. I had been, oh.
I take it back. I was drunk. I was hammered. I can't remember any of the movies.
We saw our friends at a social distance, the McCormicks, and I had a couple
yes, McCormicks.
We did. And they listened to it. And they're pretty sure they have antibodies. And then after a few drinks, I said, well, there's one way I can find out. And I think they took it the wrong way. I don't know what I just said, by taking the test. That's what I said, JVL. I said, by taking the test. What?
Shouldn't have put your tongue in John's mouth.
I'm talking about John, by the way. Anyway, look at JVL. You're right. I had come back. So I had several martinis. And then we finished off a bottle of red wine. And then I switched to bourbon, Blanton's. And then I had Maker's Mark. And then I smoked a cigar. Oh,
are you kidding? Is this shtick?
No, that's not true. It's all true.
So you were
and then
hammered
I came home,
and you couldn't.
And then
understand.
I popped it in because I said we got to watch tomorrow because I thought we were watching it like the next day.
So you were very drunk and you were a little bit high because you had a cigar.
Are you telling me
and you're,
that
and
if you're, I watched this sober, it might have been a different reaction?
I kid you not.
I'm just realizing this now live at 48:18. When you asked me that, I said no. And there's no. Oh, wait a minute. I had come back that night and I finished. It was like 1 a.m. when the movie ended.
You know, he's exactly like an old married Sam. He doesn't even know when he's out of it. He wakes up in the graveyard and he's like, "What's up? Where am I?"
He killed like six dogs just today.
Well, I think we should do a second version of the show. No, we should do an Under the Silver Lake
redux. We should do the show again
next week after Vic has watched it sober.
As you can see, no wonder I'm just drinking water, and I'm so parched. I got like cotton mouth. So anyway,
okay, good show, guys.
Okay.
Good
show. I guess that explains that. But I still didn't like it. I'll say that. I still didn't like it. Okay.
Fair enough.
Do we?
Sonny, one question for you.
Yeah.
Who kills the billionaire daughter? Who shoots her?
Great question. Does
Andrew
probably
Garfield
kill her? The homeless king. Well, no, because the bullets are coming from...
Oh, right.
They're both
oh.
in the water.
Well, sure, but he's not an entirely reliable narrator on all these points.
Yeah, I don't think it's her.
So you think the hobo king. I think it's hobo king, not homeless king.
Hobo king.
Hobo
homeless
king.
King. Whatever. Hobo king.
You think he kills her?
Him or his men.
Oh, so the one who is up on the bridge yelling at them is actually an agent of the hobo king.
Maybe.
Mm. Yeah, shooting?
Maybe.
With a silencer.
Confused.
That's a good question. I don't know. That's the one real loose end I've not been able to track down in my four viewings. In the fifth... The fifth, I'm going to pay a lot of attention to try to really get that.
You know, honestly, though, so long as a movie like this, as I said, it's a puzzle box. So long as it solves the central puzzle for you and doesn't cop out of that, which it does, it very much solves the central puzzle. It gives you definitive answers about exactly what has happened.
It tells you what happened to the girl he's been looking for this whole time.
Right. And it tells you conclusively enough about the dog killer and stuff like that. It's okay to leave a couple loose ends. And in fact, I kind of want it to have a couple loose ends, as long as they're small ones. So I don't actually need to know who killed her. I'm glad to have that there are still a couple mysteries in there that that aren't solved. I do love the idea of the old rich guy who thinks that he's going to be like a pharaoh.
Who will be discovered in 1,000 years, and the people of the future will recognize that he was the true king of Los Angeles.
It's amazing.
It is.
And also something that somebody who's rich in LA would do.
Could do. Yeah.
100%.
Could and would do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Vic, you're
too
right there?
Too sophisticated for me.
Not for Sober Vic. Sober Vic would have loved it.
No, I'm not going to watch it again. Okay.
I don't think Sober Vic would have.
No, I don't think so either. Okay. Do we have any other thoughts? That was an interesting episode. Because I still hold my ground. I'm just saying, despite the fact that I had a little bit to drink, just a little bit, I didn't like the movie. Okay. Corrections, shout-outs? Nothing. We're good.
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Good.
Gene didn't see it, did he?
No. No.
Did Dr. Mattis see it?
No, you know, Dr. Mattis recommended a movie, though. And I wrote it down. It's a movie called Sleepless on Netflix. Do you know this movie with Jamie Foxx?
No.
He sends me a text and he says, "Want to see another good action movie in Netflix? Check Sleepless movie. It's about drugs. Jamie Foxx, protagonist. His boy kidnapped corrupt cops. Lots of action." There you go.
Sounds good.
Sleepless. That sounds like my kind of
sounds
movie.
Great.
I don't, even for me, that might be much. Okay. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments. Tweet us at SunnyBunch, at Victorino Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Just type in Subbeacon under podcasts. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time.
Any of you guys have anything?
No, I hope you guys do. No? Nothing? I mean, I'll go out there. I'll brave it. But
do it. Do
so,
it.
Sonny's daughter's too young, but does your daughter or any of your daughters, JVL, play the MASH game? You know, the MASH game where you... You know, with the paper and you have to...
Mansion, apartment,
yep,
shack,
you got it.
House.
Yes, that one.
No.
That one. Okay. No. That was a thing. She hasn't done it in a while, but she had it done. She did it recently, and just to kill time, she said she wanted me to play it. And there were different categories, right? And
had Natalie Portman. No.
I lost my earbuds. Hold on. I cannot believe you guessed it. Okay, so I'm not kidding. So like one of the questions is like, what kind of car? What kind of home? And then one of them was, who were you married to? And then I just said to me, I'm married to mom. That's why I might. Okay, but you know, it might be somebody else. So pick other people. So I said, okay, fine. I think I did say Natalie Portman. And then I think I said Emma Watson. And then I was like, and then I just said, and, you know, maybe the mom down the street. And apparently that did not go over well. Like, apparently that was like a controversy that I said, I want to be married to mommy, but if I can't have mommy, you know,
you pick somebody in your neighborhood?
Yeah. Why, what's wrong with that?
Jesus Christ.
I am not sure that that's fine.